Good morning. And welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let's begin our worship by remain seated and be singing, "Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place." Again, I think I'd put the welcome in front of the surely, but welcome again to Main Street United Methodist Church. It's a pleasure to have you worshiping with us. I'd like to remind every member or every person seated out there to please fill in the attendance record. And if you're a visitor or a new resident or a visitor to Greenwood, we would appreciate you listing your name as well and giving a name and address so we can keep up with you and mail you. Get you off the mailing list so you can see what's happening at Main Street United Methodist Church. I'd like to remind you to look at the back of your bulletin. And we have a lot of things going on this summer. Beginning on the 5th, we're going to have another Safe Sanctuary presentation. Wednesday, June 6th, we're going to have the Safe Sanctuary presentation again. And if you like to come, please call. And if you need child care, will be provided if you need it. If you let us know, then we can plan for the child care. Then Tuesday the 5th, we have Fish the Magish. I think that's a fish that does magic, I think. I heard, but then I forgot. So that'll be the first of six fun night activities. And the dates are listed in the bulletin. Jim is going to be starting a Bible study or a book study on Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And that will start the 13th, and that'll go for 5 weeks. The other special event, Vacation Bible School, which starts June the 18th, and the dates are listed there, plus the ages are listed there. So there's a lot going on. Camp for the Arts. And one special thing, we're going to have the South Carolina Conference Youth Choir be here on the 25th of June. And one of Main Street's only, Wesley Runyon, is in that choir. So that gives us a little extra little effort to be there because they'll be traveling and they'll be visiting our church on the 25th. And I think Ann Pendergrass will be looking for people to keep the children. I don't know what that involves, but Ann could tell you that. But anyway, we'll be needing houses to field, to house the young people. I believe that is all the announcement. This is Memorial Day, and we would like to remember all those that served, that are still living and served, that gave their lives, so that we can sit here and worship God, the God of and worship as we choose. So let's begin the service.
Thank you. Please stand for the call to worship. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each of them.
God of grace, you sent the promised gift of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the women, upon Mary, the mother of Jesus, and upon his brothers. Fill your church with power, kindle flaming hearts within us, and cause us to proclaim your mighty works in every tongue, that all may call on you and be saved. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is a special day as the church holidays and the year of worship moves around. It sometimes falls that we have Pentecost and Memorial Day on the same day. And so we will remember both days today. Before our prayer time, I wanted to read some words from one of our former presidents that sort of put us in mind of the true feeling or the true meaning of Memorial Day. He wrote, "It is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, gray and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us, and all we can do is remember." Let us remember those who have given their lives in the service of this country. Let us remember those who are caught up in war, even this moment. And let us remember our prayer concerns in this congregation, those for whom we are concerned. Riley Watson, who has been in hospital this past week, may be facing some procedures. Shorty Callison with his ongoing treatment. Carol Scurry and Ann Drake, who's been through quite an ordeal and is here today, and without my glasses, I can't find her. She's back there. We're very happy that you're here and very happy that you've come through a great ordeal with flying colors and are here to worship this day. We have our own concerns, of course, so we lift them up before God as we pray. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, come and fill our hearts. We remember the story from the Old Testament of the Tower of Babel and the people of the earth, how they were separated by language. And Lord, we remember today as a day of Pentecost, a day of thanksgiving, a day of harvest in which you gathered by your Spirit all together to hear the good news in whatever language they spoke or understood. What had been separated is brought together in the good news of Jesus Christ through the power of your Holy Spirit. What had been separated and divided, the Holy Spirit has brought together. And you call us now to be agents of your continuing good news, to reach out to the whole world, to be of one heart and one mind in God through the power of love that Jesus has brought us and that Jesus gives us even in this moment. Lord, by your Spirit, bless us and let us be a blessing to others. By your Spirit, open the hearts and minds of the rulers of the nations of this world, a fallen place, a violent place, a place still filled with darkness and yet permeated by your light, the light and the truth and the eternal hope of your gospel of peace. Peace of the brotherhood of humanity under one Father, and peace of eternal life through your forgiveness and your grace, your acceptance, your open arms to whomsoever will come. Lord, bless us in this hope. And bless those who grieve this day that we set aside as Memorial Day, those who have lost. Yes, Lord, bless us by your Spirit. And touch our hearts and remind us what to pray and how to pray in this moment of silent prayer. As we lift up our private concerns, our private thanksgivings, our private prayers of confession and prayers for one another, hear now the silent prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we do pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I do ask the young children to come down front for the children's message. come sit close. Sit close. We've got a few fewer children than we normally have because it is Memorial Day weekend. That's a vacation. A lot of folks are off traveling somewhere. Y'all come in real, 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 real close. And I need somebody to get us a hymnal. Someone hand us a hymnal. Yeah, here we go. I want you to notice some symbols around the church today. Something's changed from last week. Did you notice that last week, the paraments, that's the cloth up there hanging from the Bible and on the altar table, last week it was what color? You remember? It was white. That's some of the Sundays of Easter. Today it's red. And what else is red? What's red? What's red when it's real cold and then you get a fireplace and you put a fire in it? The flames are kind of red, aren't they? Kind of orangey red. And did you ever notice on the very front of the hymnal, did you see that? We have a cross and a couple of flames, a divided flame on the front. Have you ever noticed that before? What did you think it meant? You forgot? Well, most of us have. And that's okay. Today is Pentecost. It symbolizes the presence of God's Holy Spirit in the church. We talk about God the Father, God the Son is Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And that gets real, real, real confusing. But what it simply means is God is with us right now, just like God was with us in Jesus Christ. God is with us in the Holy Spirit. But it gets confusing because we sometimes say Holy Spirit, we sometimes say Holy Ghost, and I know when I was your age, you hear what the preacher's saying kind of halfway, and you're halfway thinking about other things, and you don't really get it all, do you? Right? Because what the preacher says is not that interesting, is it? Is it? No, it's not. I thank you for your honesty. I remember one time I heard a little girl, and she had a turtle died, and she was sort of halfway listening when the preacher preached, and she was halfway listening when she went to funerals, and she said what she thought were the right words, so she dug a hole, and she put the turtle in there, covered him over, and she said, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and in the Holy Ghost. That's bad, isn't it? That's really bad. But sometimes we say Holy Ghost, sometimes we say Holy Spirit, but all we mean, and all Pentecost is really about, and all the red that we have up there, and the red that I'm wearing today, and sometimes you see the dove, all of these symbols mean that God is with us now, that God's power is with us now, to comfort us, to help us love one another, to help us forgive each other, and to keep the promises that Jesus made, and to help us live the life that Jesus taught, to be loving, to care for one another, and to forgive one another. Because we do get on each other's nerves sometimes, don't we? Don't we? And we need God's help to forgive one another. We do. And I forgot to take up a collection. Of all things, I should have taken up a collection. But I'll let y'all, just if you have one, just lay that on the altar rail. We'll get that later. But everybody hold hands. Everybody hold hands with somebody. Y'all hold hands. Everybody hold hands. And we're going to have a prayer. You don't want to hold hands? Because it's a girl? Yeah, okay. Well, that's all right. I understand. I'm going to have the prayer, and y'all do the amen, okay? Lord, we do thank you for coming to us as Creator. We do thank you for coming to us in Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you for coming to us and being with us in this moment, with us and inside of us, in our hearts, through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for comforting us and giving us the power to love like Jesus loved, to forgive as Jesus forgave, and to care for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. If y'all have an offering, just put that on the side there. And it's just that. There you go. As some of you have heard and said to me, the passing of the peace is not just to greet each other and to greet visitors and things. It's primarily to actually connect with one another and to understand that we are connected by the love of God, by the Spirit of God, and if need be, so that you can truly worship, make peace with someone that you have something against. I've actually had this in a former congregation where one lady who hadn't spoken to a lady in a very long time crossed the congregation and they made peace right in church. Imagine that. Imagine that. It truly happened. But secondarily, if you see a visitor, do greet them. Do greet them. Let us pass the peace.
I want to encourage each of you to turn into your pew Bible to the Old Testament of Psalms 101. Today we're going to be reading verses 24 through 35. This is on page 683. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, creeping with things innumerable are there. Living things, both small and great. There go the ships and the Levitians that you formed to sport in it. And I learned that in the Bible times, this Levitian was a sea animal of enormous size. These all look to you to give them their food in due season, to give them... When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his work. Who looks on the earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now we're going to go directly into our New Testament reading. This is Acts 2, verses 1 through 21, and you will find it on page 144. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the thrust of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native land of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native languages? The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and our visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet of Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us for our short lives enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause.
We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Found in your pew Bibles on page 133 from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verses 8 through 17. Hear now God's word. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now let us affirm our faith with this ancient affirmation, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Something unusual today. Before my prayer and before my sermon, I need to pass out some things. We've already spoken with the children about the symbolism of fire for today, and that symbolism is always signified by something red. Today it shall be red yarn. I didn't check out this idea with the trustees because it is a trip hazard if we don't do it well. Here's the choirs. Now, this will be done during the sermon later on, but not right off the bat because I'm afraid I'll lose your attention. I hope we can multitask. I hope we can pass this back and forth and up and down so everybody has a piece of it for the final prayer at the end of the sermon. Also, make sure that nobody will leave early. They'll be stuck where they are. Here's the Amen Corner. It's marked Amen Corner. This goes to the balcony. Can I get you to run that to the balcony? I don't know that I can get any excuse to run in church. It's good. Okay. And I want to talk about Pentecost along the lines of, we didn't practice this, right side. That's my right, so that's yours. No, that's this side. I don't know that it makes any difference. I had an engineer figure this out. You know how engineers are. They're very precise. This is for the left side. Okay, now not to be handed out yet. We're divided up in so many ways. One year when I was talking about Pentecost and the color red, about the flame and the presence of God with us, one child brought up, he thought red meant Gamecocks. Now, I will tell you how divided we get in this world. My grandson, Eli, he's not even 2 years old. But his father, who graduated from Clemson, has taught if anybody ever says Gamecocks, he says, ew. I mean, he'll do it. When you see Eli, if he's here, just say Gamecock and you'll see that he's already been taught. We're taught to divide ourselves in so many ways. I think Pentecost is really not so much about flame, not so much about tongues, but about hearing the uniting word and being united by the power and by the purpose and by the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, the title of my sermon is not a misprint. It is Untied Methodist. And some years ago, we had our National General Conference of the UMC in Indianapolis, and a fellow pastor who went to that, he reported that on the marquee of one of the major hotels, it said in bold letters for all the world to see, "Welcome, Untied Methodist." You know, people get that wrong very often. And we are more often untied than united as a denomination, and truth be told, even here at Main Street Greenwood. It is better to be united. I went on an academic tour my senior year at Wofford College of Europe, and I learned many things. And one of the things I learned was that traffic stops for nothing in Rome, nothing. The tour guide impressed that upon us and the importance of staying together. Some of our group wanted to just cross a four-lane highway and get to the bus after we had seen some ruins. And she said, no, 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 no. She screamed. She said, if you cross one by one, they will hit you one by one. But if you cross together, they think the group will do damage to their car. And so they'll stop for you. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that teaches us, except it's better to stay together. Now, next week, at our annual conference in Florence, not Italy, but South Carolina, we will pass many resolutions. But you know, things don't really get better because we pass resolutions saying things will get better. And congregations do not grow because the Board of Stewards declares it so and has it recorded in the official minutes. And building projects do not get paid for or even agreed upon just because we want them to. In the church, God's church, things get better when we unite around God and seek God's will for this time and this place and seek the power and the courage to do it. All of these things begin and end with God, not us, and not even the finest resolution or the cleverest sermon can make it happen. If God does not come first in our faith and in our plans and in our lives, then we often come in last under the category of unity. And if you think about it, of course that has to be true. If we, each of us individually, is seeking our own disparate will, then where does unity even have a chance? You can have, as in some smaller churches I have known, a sort of unity when everyone buckles to the loudest and the stubbornest ego among us. That can happen. But what happens in churches like that is they eventually die a horrible death because they can only grow as far as ego allows. God's church grows better, and God's people remain more united when we remember from time to time that we belong, all of us, to God, the God we know best, and the person and the personality and the teachings of Jesus Christ, loving, forgiving, compassionate, humble, and serving. Pentecost speaks of the early church empowered not by a fierce, determined group, but by quite ordinary humans, even subpar men who trusted God to give them power and words and guidance. Too often, we find ourselves speaking of God, but not seeking God. Praying to God, but not listening to what God has already said in Jesus Christ. We find ourselves planning for God on paper, but not with any end goal in mind. But remember, Jesus gave us several end goals. The goal of passing on His Spirit, which gives us the peace that passes all human understanding. Loving God and loving neighbor, and even loving enemies. And finally, the goal of making disciples who believe and do the same. These are still very good goals. If we have other goals that involve our feelings or our desires or our egos more than love and harmony with God and neighbor, then we will remain more untied than United Methodist. It's Pentecost. Where is our power? Where it has always been. From God. And united in seeking to serve God together, that is where our power comes from. Unless and until we do that more and more perfectly, we and many of our brother and sister churches will just limp along as untied Methodists, each seeking his or her own way and forgetting the promise of unity, of power and peace and purpose that God gave at Pentecost. What is Pentecost anyway? Some of us have looked it up in a footnote and then we forgot about it. I'll try not to go on to Bible study time too long. I know that, as the young children have already told me, preachers say a lot of things that are boring. But briefly, in the ancient Jewish calendar, there was nothing more important than Passover. You know, the sparing of death and the freedom from slavery and bondage in Egypt. Then 50 days after that, 50 days after Passover, came Pentecost. The day of thanksgiving for the first fruits of the harvest. It's like a Jewish harvest day. And it always came 50 days after Passover. Pentecost is not a brand new Christian holiday. It is an ancient Jewish holiday that something specifically Christian happened on that day. Now, beyond the harvest celebration, they always read one passage from Deuteronomy 26:3. Today I declare to the Lord God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. I have come into that land. I'm going to explain. It's the spiritual parallel with Jesus' crucifixion and what happened that first Pentecost. Jesus, of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That happened at Passover. And then 50 days later at Pentecost, believers were touched by the Spirit of God as an indication of the great harvest that had begun. Harvest of life everlasting and new life that Jesus had won. And so the Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost, and the church was empowered and in a way born that day. The same day the worshipers were saying, "Today I declare to the Lord God that I've come into the land that the Lord has promised to us." It was a new land. It was the first of a new harvest. And you and I are among that harvest. And the land is spiritual territory. It is a new land, a new reality, a new creation. The promised land is not a place. It is a relationship embraced by God. Remember, these disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them. Emphatically, Jesus ordered them to stay until you get the power of the Spirit. Don't even try to start this ministry unless and until you have received this power and guidance of the Spirit. And so they waited. They waited until this Jewish festival of Pentecost, and something did happen. Something did happen. They got power, they got guidance, they got comfort, they got courage. From the beginning of Genesis, God desires to be in relationship with us. We were made to be in relationship with God, and we were made to be in relationship with one another. And from the very beginning also, we are rejecting God's overtures of relationship and covenant. And so here we have in Pentecost, God taking the action, and God coming to us in Christ, and coming to us in the Spirit to make a new relationship, a new reality, a new outreach through the church that Jesus founded and left, to spread that reality and to spread that open-armed embrace to the entire world. God still seeks us, all of us. The main message is this. God sent power at Pentecost to unify these people who were afraid and had no guidance and no purpose, and made them into spiritual giants. And the flames also are a spiritual sign that we keep on the brick wall of our new building and on our hymnals and all of our other publications, a sign that God's Spirit is with us today, just as powerfully as God was with us in the physical person of Jesus Christ. Fire is a symbol. Fire on these altar candles is a symbol that God is present. Fire has a way of burning away the chaff and anything that is useless and cumbersome. Fire refines. Fire galvanizes and makes strong. It purifies. The hearts of the disciples were set on fire with passion, with love for Christ, and with a burning desire to share the gospel story. Our mission is to tell and to live a cross-centered gospel, empowered and taught by the Holy Spirit. Our founder, John Wesley, said this. He said, the renewal of the soul after the image of God, that means to grow closer and to be more like Jesus, can never be wrought except by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Except not just God with us, but God in us, is what I believe he means to say. Remember, if we are as a church aiming for anything that we alone can do without God's help, then we are aiming too low. We should be aiming for things we can do only with God's help, and understand that we are agents and hands for God's Spirit and guidance. We're called to do something that is only possible with God's help. But God's help is here. God's Spirit is here to unite us and to empower us and to lead us. And that is the message of Pentecost. God with us through the Spirit. God with us just as powerfully as ever Jesus was here in the flesh, teaching, continuing to teach what Jesus taught. But now not just reverently reading the parables and the teachings of Jesus, but actually empowered to live the way that Jesus lived and to follow the teaching that Jesus taught. Not just agreeing that it's a good idea, but being enabled to actually grow into doing those good ideas that Jesus taught. I want the renewal of my soul. I know you want the renewal of your soul and of this church and of Greenwood as a community. We would love to be more of a community as a church and as a city than just people who get their mail at similar zip codes. We would love to be together, united. And Pentecost promises that God wants the same. Yesterday, I rode from Lawrence on my bicycle. Now that I'm turning 50 and I'm trying to outrun my genetics, I'm trying to keep my blood pressure down and trying to keep my heart rate down and my cholesterol down. It seems like everything has to be down. But I've been riding my bicycle pretty seriously for a month. And yesterday I rode from Lawrence to my mother-in-law's house in Woodruff. But I want to tell you, that's 22 miles and we averaged 17.2 miles an hour. Not that I'm bragging, but we did. It wasn't that hard, because I rode behind this huge guy, former player on the Clemson University ACC Championship and Citrus Bowl Championship team from 1988, Ty Granger, actually was drafted for the Buccaneers. Now, he's a big guy still, but he rode ahead. And I watched just enough NASCAR to know that if you get about 6 inches behind a big guy who's cutting through the wind, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. And then the other guy, smaller than me, rode behind me. So we were three of us in a row. Now, he cut through the wind, and I pedaled behind him, and another guy pedaled behind me. And together, we had the biggest, the strongest guy out front, cutting the resistance. So it's not that hard to follow. Unity can make more happen. And we can travel further in a lifetime with less friction when we put God out front and follow and pedal for all we're worth. Put God out front in your prayers, in your problems, and in your plans. Pray to God seriously, believing that God desires and has the power to work things together for the good. Pray to God about our debt. Also write a check, but pray to God about our debt. Pray to God for our music program and our youth program as we seek new leadership. It is so easy to slip into the weekly routine of Sunday sermon and Sunday school and not much else. We need to be more united self-consciously and understand that we are formed and we are empowered and we are founded from the beginning by God's Spirit among us. I want to share a poem, and as I share this poem, I want you to please try to do two things at once. Start passing this way, then that way, then this way, then that way, and we'll connect every section, and you can watch the choir, they'll illustrate it for you. Everybody have a piece of the red thread, and I hope at the end when we have a prayer in just a minute or two that don't look at the choir. Just do it. Just everybody get some of that yarn, and we're going to have a prayer at the end, united symbolically by the red cord and by the flame of God's Spirit among us. But hear this if you can. This is a poem by that famous author, Anonymous. I don't know who wrote it. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier became each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, "You didn't ask." I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, "But you didn't seek." I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "My child, you didn't knock." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Too many people are trying to go it alone. Too many churches are trying to go it alone. They act as though the only thing that can occur in a prayer is what psychologically happens inside the individual head when you pray. What about the whole church? Jesus prayed for the whole church. Let us pray for the whole church and for this church, believing that God still has power to unite and to make strong and whole and, dare I say it, holy. Holy means set apart. For God's use. We need to pray in order for God to order our lives. A former president wrote the following. He wrote it about our nation, and I want you to try to hear it for the nation and for the church. He wrote, "We have been the recipients of the greatest blessings of heaven. We have been preserved in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated and unbroken success, We have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God who made us. We should be moved then to humble ourselves before God, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Some of you will recognize those words were written April 30th, 1863 by Abraham Lincoln in the middle of the Civil War. Proclaiming a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. Yes, nations, individuals, and churches all stand in the need of prayer. Prayer for guidance, prayer for deliverance, prayer believing that God can shape us into people of integrity and discipline, that God can grow us closer to the mind and the image and the person and the personality of Jesus Christ. Prayer to God to forgive us of our sins. And prayer for the spiritual power to become united under the teachings and the example of Jesus Christ. Pentecost calls us to remember that we can do more when we put God out front and follow. Follow pedaling as fast as we can. Amen. Now, we did have one extra row for the balcony, but only a few people in the balcony. Is everyone connected with a red cord? As connected as we can be. It is still going? Well, as it's going. Oh, I see it. Yes, as it's going. Well, we're on the radio, so I can't have any dead time, so I'm just going to. We're almost at the end of our time. But I do hope that the symbolism, even if it is incomplete, is still of some value. Let us bow our heads together. Y'all keep passing it. You can bow your heads and keep your eyes open and pass the cord. Let us, as united as we can be, maybe only partially united, is still a more beautiful symbol and a more accurate one. Let us pray. Holy Father, we do thank you for your promise from beginning to end in the Scripture that you do desire a relationship with us, that you have been a light in the darkness and a burning bush for Moses and a pillar of fire for the children of Israel across the desert, and also a light that has come into the world in Jesus Christ. And the world couldn't understand it. The world couldn't put it out, though it tried. Lord, your light has come into our lives, into our homes, into our heads, and into our hearts. Your light and your Spirit urging us to grow. Give us a fire and give us a passion to follow your Son, not as a name, but as a man, as one who taught us and one who lived your will most perfectly on the face of this earth. Lord, when we fall short, we also need to be reminded that you do forgive and are a God of grace and mercy. Give us courage to try. And when we fail, courage to try again. In Jesus' name and by the power of your Holy Spirit, unite us under Christ as we are bold to continue his ministry in this town, in this place, in this time, in the ways that we can, with the talents and treasure that we have. Lord, bless our feeble efforts. We give you the credit. We know you are the power. Amen. Let us stand and sing, and I do hope we don't trip over the illustration.
Thank you.
Receive this blessing. Lord, bless us by the presence of your Spirit. Bless us by the full knowledge of the love you have for us as our Creator God, and the love you have shown for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our example so high. Lord, we have been blessed. Empower us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.